What I'm going to ask you to do is to tell us why you're here. And also what we are interested in, what we are interested in is apparently you have a complaint against the Fredericton Police Force?
Yes. This is identical documents that I just delivered to Lieutenant Governor of New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. I will be suing the Queen in the United States of America. And many lawyers here and the city of Fredericton because of the actions of the Fredericton City Police. You can have a copy, and Judge Richardson will have the other. As far as you're concerned, I'm grateful that you gave me your time. Mm-hmm. I did not consider it to be a concern of yours until the Ombudsman, Bernard Richard, directed me to you, as you saw by the emails, exchange he and I had.
Yeah.
Initially, what brought about this complaint was, while I was running for Parliament up here, the local Liberal, Leroy Armstrong, who I know quite well, I sold my gas station to him, poked his nose into a debate amongst federal politicians. And he and I had quite a bit of words that was witnessed by many people. And basically he and I challenged each other to a debate. His response was, anytime, anywhere. I suggested before some legislative process of New Brunswick, which would be the proper form, him as a local provincial politician wants to debate me, who's trying for a federal seat, this is the proper venue. Mm-hmm. So, he, after the debate in front of witnesses, I served him basically the same documents you now see. In it is evidence of the actions of the police commissioner, of the RCMP commissioner, Zaccarelli, Giuliano Zaccarelli, used to be
Zaccarelli.
Yeah, he used to be head of J Division here. Now, the Liberal lawyer T.J. Burke has quite a bone to pick with him over Kingsclear years ago. But believe me, my matters are far more serious with regards to the Arar Commission. Mm-hmm. Now, the Solicitor General to Canada, Anne McClellan, mm-hmm. Finally responded to me and apologized to me for the actions of Wayne Easter, the former Solicitor General to Canada, in the sense that they were willing to let Ashcroft and his cohorts take me to Cuba as a terrorist. I'm still here. The Secret Service did come to my home with the Milton Police. At dark, they really do drive black cars and wear black suits and tried to take me away. 1 month, the day they came was April the 1st, 2003. They came 1 month after they moved from the Treasury Department to the Department of Homeland Security. After Anne McClellan got her job when Martin took over the reins, she placed all the blame upon Wayne Easter, but refused to do a thing. Meanwhile, I'm in America being harassed every day by police down there. They come through closed doors without knocking, pull us out of lines of cars, refuse to investigate, try to pick fights in rooms such as this, where it's their word against mine. And all of this is to stop my actions in many courts defending our interests in her inheritances. In the course of litigation, I discovered tax fraud, bank fraud, securities fraud. You are looking at the man that caused the SEC to settle with Putnam Investments so quick. When Senator Shelby said last November, how do we stop this man from Massachusetts from calling everybody names? You're looking at him. I am that man. The proof is before you. Nevertheless, I am a Canadian citizen. I only am a permanent American resident. I'm married to an American lady. We have children in America.
You have dual citizenship?
Absolutely not. I'm a proud Canadian. When these people came to my door and tried to take me away, the Queen has jurisdiction over me everywhere I go. I pleaded to the Queen's representatives by way of the commissioner, the consulate, and Wayne Easter many times for assistance. Nothing happened. I said, fine, you won't do it. I'll speak for myself. I'll come home, run for parliament, and tell everyone. I did. In the course of running for parliament, I did not pick on Leroy Armstrong. I know Leroy Armstrong. Mm-hmm. Frank McKenna grew up close to my bike shop. I know these people. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That said, Leroy Armstrong stuck his nose in front of witnesses, challenged me to debate. He was served. He acknowledged knowing of a friend of mine's problems in Newfoundland, a man by the name of Byron Pryor, discussed it in front of many people, and then refused to talk to Byron Pryor. Leroy is as dumb as a post, and I hope that's on the record.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lawyer to understand this stuff. But any layman can read that, and I hope that you do. If anyone can prove to me how the U.S. attorney can edit out the defendant cardinal law when he removed the matter to federal court, I'll eat your hat.
Mm-hmm.
This is conspiracy and cover-up, and it involves my native land and the RCMP and CSIS.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Hooper is well aware of me and my actions in America. I made certain of it. Anyway, T.J. Burke and Kelly Lamrock share offices here in Fredericton. They're both lawyers. They've both been yipping about the police commissioner and his actions. They challenge local politicians, as they should, as they pass our laws. I agree with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It would take a lawyer to understand these documents and bring them to the attention of Brad Green. Brad Green has been ignoring me for months before I came home.
Mm-hmm.
When I came home, you'll see in these documents, I brought many FBI wiretap tapes. Hi. Thanks for coming. This is Joyce Richards.
Hi. How are you?
Joyce.
Okay.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi, my name is Joyce. I'm a police commissioner.
Joyce?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Clem Boldrick, the director of the police commission.
Okay.
Are you from?
For me?
Are you from Creighton? Or?
Cambridge Narrows.
You what?
Cambridge Narrows. Close to Jemsay.
Oh, Jemsay. Okay, yeah. Oh, okay.
Joyce is not speaking for me. She's an officer of the court. And I asked her to come here as a favor to witness anything I say. Unfortunately, I can't trust anyone, so...
You're not his lawyer?
She does not speak for me.
Oh.
She is a lawyer.
No, okay, but you're not a client of hers?
No. She is just a witness.
As a witness, okay. Fine. No, we know it. Okay.
The reason I served Lieutenant Governor before coming, I'm well aware that New Brunswick liked to employ Lieutenant Governor's warrant, and... everybody has been trying to call me crazy. I've been labeled as a Hell's Angels or a madman, you name it. From what I understand, the malicious lieutenant governor's warrants have gone by the wayside since 1992, but I gotta cover my butt. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I came home to Canada, everybody knows I have cases of FBI wiretap tapes of the Italian mob. These are just a few of them. across the border into Canada. They did everything they could to try to delay me coming to Canada. I was watched all the time I was here. The FBI were in town in my first during my first debate in Sussex. The first person to walk up and shake my hand before the debate on June 18th was a retired RCMP officer that I know quite well. They used to employ me as an expert witness in provincial court.
What's his name?
Bob McGrath. Bob McGrath, I took him to the car and showed him these tapes. Showed him the letters to his former boss, the police commissioner, and why I was home. During the debate, the member of parliament at the time, John Herron, kind of alluded of when there was an argument about the gun laws, he alluded that I was a Hell's Angel. I am no Hell's Angel. I do ride many bikes. I've sold hundreds, probably thousands of them. But the last thing you should call me is a one percenter or a biker of any sort. But the RCMP are quick to use that label because they look at that as the number one organized crime in Canada. It is not. But that said, these are FBI wiretap tapes of the Italian mob. Everybody knows I have them. 94 U.S. attorneys in America have a copy of one tape in particular. You now have one. It's tape number 139. I picked that mobster because that particular tape covers people from many states, and they had no right to record a lot of the people on them. I will be giving that man that tape so he can sue the government for the violations of his civil rights in America. These tapes I am forwarding to the Iraq Commission to support my allegations. They are evidence. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I am not entitled to have these tapes. I am just a person. I should not have these tapes. I've tried to give them to the Massachusetts State Police, the FBI, the RCMP, 8 different police departments, the Florida State Police. I simply do not know who else to try to give it to. When I pull these tapes out, cops run away from me. Everyone says, give it to someone who has jurisdiction over you. That only person can be the Queen. I came home. When I came home, the Customs and Immigration, look, they x-rayed my car, everything in it. As soon as they put their hands on the tapes, I said, don't touch them unless you want to keep them. They said, oh, we don't want them. I served them the documents and told them to tell Ann, our Solicitor General, that I was home. Anyway, I come to Fredericton, and this is where it concerns you. I came to Fredericton June 24th. My mission was to serve the lawyer T.J. Burke. Now, lawyers have a bad habit of avoiding, delaying, denying, and lying. So the first thing I do is always make sure I have witnesses, take pictures, or send by certified mail. So the fact that they receive the stuff is irrefutable. You understand? With T.J. Burke, I was well aware that his office was 710 Queen Street. I went into the legislature building, left the pile of documents to give to him at the door as per the rules. Right? They stayed with the commissioner. I was given the tag. And I went through the legislature. I went first to the library to look for a man by the name of Charles LeBlanc. Charles LeBlanc is rather an outspoken activist over Rickland in particular. He's well known about the neighborhood. So anyway, I thought he would be a good fella to witness me go to 710 Queen Street and leave the stuff in the slot as per the rules to the attention of T.J. Burke. I went up into the legislature to see what was going on and to make eye contact with Leroy Armstrong so that he would know that I was there. I actually didn't make eye contact, but on June the 24th, there was a lot to do over the recent health issues and the closing of hospital beds, and the Minister of Health was there with the various bureaucrats around him, and one of them I know quite well, and he'll go unnamed as we speak, but he's a Deputy Minister of Health. He will witness what I did in there, if necessary, and that is nothing. Nothing. I did ask in conversational only commissioner if they'd ever seen such a thing as a debate in the legislature, you know, between different parties. You know, God, I don't know. And I was asking out of human, you know, curiosity, how does one debate MLAs? You know, do you have a commission or do they debate? You know, I don't know, right? I am no politician. And I was asking another man like I would ask you. So anyway, downstairs, there was a glass case. I couldn't find Charles Blanc back in life. There was a glass case where they were showing where Champlain made his trip up through the Bay of Fundy. Now, at the time, it was June 24th. The next day, I served Paul Zed at his office, Clark Drummy, before he went to the airport with John Herron to meet Mr. Martin. You understand, I'm playing politics. I am a political animal these days. You understand? Paul Zed was running for the Liberal seat in St. John.
So he's a lawyer. You served him in St. John?
I served. He's up council of Clark and Drummy, so I served him at Clark and Drummy. You know, just go into the...
Were in St. John?
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew that Martin was coming to town for the St. Croix celebration. The mystery was when Martin was coming. And as you know, to approach a federal politician is somewhat hard to do and best avoidance. But I wanted to make a scene, as a politician will, to make the scene in St. Croix at the same time Martin did. Anyway, there's this glass case there. And as I was looking at Champlain's trip, I could see the dates. And where Champlain had set up camp was June 26th, so I was saying, that's the day Martin will be there, and no doubt it was. But as I was looking at the case, the sergeant of arms, who wouldn't tell me his name, I found it out, his name is Dan Brosseur or whatever, he claimed it was Jean-Claude something or other. That's what I understood it to be. He come up and said, there's lots of history here, and I said, yes, he was with two undercover police.
That was on the 24th of June,
as I was looking at the class case. He was looking at, he come up, there's lots of history, and he said, can I talk to you outside for a minute? And I said, who are you? He said, I'm the Sergeant of Arms. He said, I understand you want to serve.
Was he in uniform?
No. He's just a guy. I said, who are you? Right? He said he was the Sergeant of Arms. He was with two undercover cops. They had their little necklaces on, you know, with the badge. And I said, what do you want? He said, I'd like to talk to you outside. And I said, what about? He said, I understand you want to serve one of the MLAs. I said, what business is it of yours? It is none of his business. You know what I mean? He said, well, we need to talk outside. And I said, okay. So we went back to the commissioner's post. I turn in the name tag. He gives me the documents. We step outside. He says, you're banned from the legislature building forever. You can never enter the property. And I said, why? He said, because you tried to serve an MLA. I said, I did not. And I didn't. The commissioner was in charge of the documents. Do you understand? I said, what's your name again? And he said, Jean-Claude something or other. I couldn't understand his name, or I misunderstood.
He didn't have a name tag?
No, he never identified himself with an ID.
Okay.
The cops didn't either. But I said, do you think, and I asked him this question directly, Do you think that you have jurisdiction over me? He said, yes. I said, good. You take this stuff, I'll get T.J. Burke with more documents. If you find, you'll see where Ann McClellan and Brad Green instruct me to do that. He wouldn't take the documents. I then turned to the police, went close and looked at his badge to be sure, and it said Fredericton Police Department. I said, do you stand with this man? He said, yes. I said, what's your name? He said, Constable of the Block. No IDs other than the badge. I said, fine, fellas. See you in court. I then walked straight 20 paces to 710 Queen Street, and I have witnesses to the fact that I served T.J. Burke. It was the sergeant at arms and two police officers who watched me go into the building and come out without the documents.
You know the other one's name?
The other one would not identify himself. I immediately get in my car, went straight down to the bottom of Queen Street here, and went in and asked to speak to the chief. I believe his name is Carlisle. Mm-hmm. The ladies asked.
That was over 24 to get.
That within minutes. I maintain I was thrown out of the legislature for political reasons, not legal reasons. I had done nothing wrong. So anyway, I went straight to the police department, asked to speak to the chief. The lady said it was what for, and I said I was thrown out of the legislature for political reasons rather than legal reasons, and I have every right to sue the city. Perhaps the chief and I should talk. I was directed into a room off to the side, a man by the name of Corporal Ross asked me what it was about. I gave him a copy of the local Kings County Record where I'm on the front page and showed him where I was running for parliament and that I had been thrown out of the legislature by the sergeant at arms with the support of the Fredericton City Police Department, and that I was much offended and would sue the city unless we could resolve it, and gave him a pile of the documents for his solicitor to read. He is also the president of the Law Society and the city solicitor, Bruce Noble. I went to school with him. He knows me. So, there's no need to litigate. A simple apology and a release of the ban would have done the trick. Do you understand? To have an answer from T.J. Burke.
Did you talk to Galileo?
No, we wouldn't return calls. I called Bruce Noble.
On that day.
I called Bruce Noble.
Yeah, but on that day you went to see Galileo. And he put you aside in his aside office, arrest talked to you, whatever.
Well, you understand that I was in a Fredericton City Police Department.
Yeah.
And anything you say can and will be used against you. And I was alone with the corporal, who was very hostile. He wouldn't even shake my hand before I said one word.
Yeah, you shook my hand. My question is, what that day, did you talk, did you see Carlisle? Was there any arrangements for a meeting with Carlisle?
No. And a week or so later,
what did Rusty say to you?
He said, if I don't tell him what it's about, he's going to chuck it in the garbage. I said, do what you will, see you in court. I was giving the Fredericton Police Department fair warning, if we couldn't resolve this, I would sue the city and seek relief. That is my right. But anyway,
yeah, but there is no, he asked you to leave.
No, I left on my own accord.
Okay.
Because I don't trust police, you understand? The proof is in there. The proof is in these tapes. You understand? Believe me, I have lots of reason not to trust law enforcement. So anyway.
No, I'm not asking you if you're trusting him. I'm asking you what he said to you.
He said he'd throw it in the trash. I said, see you in court, Corporal Ross. I read his tag.
So you never heard from Carlisle or no arrangement was ever made for you to meet
none.
Your, okay.
That's what so, then I called the city solicitor's office, Bruce Noble, and the Law Society, trying to get the